It's time for Mac Break Weekly. Well, we've seen it all. The brand new iPhone is here, and our panel discuss the ins, the outs, the new iPods, iTunes 2. It's all coming up next on Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 316, recorded September 12th, 2012, the iPhone 5. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix. All you need is a webcam and a click to turn your online meeting into a high-definition video conference. Meet with colleagues anywhere in the world, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code MacBreak. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your iPhone, iPad, MacBook, or Android smartphone. Find out what your old iPhone's worth and get the new iPhone at gazelle.com. And by Ford. Ford invites us tech geeks to join the conversation, submit ideas, and grab a tech geek badge at social.ford.com. And by the new Squarespace. Squarespace introduces a new content management system, making it faster and easier to create a high-quality website or blog, plus more than 50 new features, including mobile responsive design. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code MacBreak9. If you're just tuning in, Andy Iannotko is at the hands-on demonstration of the iPhone 5 and has one in his hands right now.
Yeah, it is much, much thinner in hand than it looks in the any video or photo you might get. It feels noticeably lighter than my iPhone 4S, and I've had that thing in my hand like for the past 2 hours tweeting, so I know how heavy the iPhone 4S sometimes feels. Very, very slick piece of kit. Right now I'm focusing on the Sears Tower in Chicago, trying to find the address of the Chicago Sun-Times so we can get that for future coverage. But yeah, it's really just a remarkable piece. And also, my ears are still in joy mode after having heard three numbers from the Foo Fighters, one of my favorite bands in the world. Probably made quite the fool out of myself with the cheering at the very, very end. But then again, after Tim is not on the stage, you're no longer a journalist. You can actually be a proper fanboy.
All that pent up cheering just poured out of you.
Yes, but yeah, I mean it was. I actually was tweeting out how, okay, we've seen nothing that we didn't plan to see before. And then, of course, they dropped all the other stuff about iOS. So this idea of not wanting to crowd out the iPhone with other announcements turned out not to be the smart money because they decided to, of course, update every single thing that they had going in the iPod line. So it makes you think about what might be happening next month if those rumors also come to pass. Also, upon exit, everybody got a new set of earbuds and a card for the iTunes store.
Wow. Have you tried the earbuds yet?
I have not tried the earbuds yet because I was scrambling to be one of the first people to get my mitts on one. I've already had about 5 minutes with it and then voluntarily gave it up to someone next to me because I don't want to be a total iPhone hog. But I have not taken them out of the box yet. The interesting thing is that the demo of it on stage basically made it sound as though that earbuds can be the most complicated things that an engineer can work on. It is a three-port design that is designed to channel sound through the stem of the earbuds through three individually tuned ports. So clearly the next thing I'm going to have to try out is exactly how, well, maybe I'll just put some Foo Fighters up and see how that plays out.
Well, it's interesting because they're only $29. So if they are, in fact, you know, that significantly improved, that's going to be an amazing deal.
Absolutely. And it's certainly in the price range of most premium. To see that Apple has been paying attention to pretty much every element of it. I think one of the money quotes from the end from Tim Cook was really the Apple mission statement, which is that great products actually enhance people's lives on a day-to-day basis, and that's probably why they like to do the things that they do. And so anytime you're trying to figure out what they're going to be working on, the iPhone 5 apart from the larger screen, doesn't feel like an absolutely revolutionary upgrade, but you notice that they focus on making the screen better and pleasanter to read. It is the contrast seems sharper, details seem to pop a little bit. I had it side by side next to my iPhone 4S for a bit, and yeah, it's noticeably better. This new laminated screen is just wonderfully aces. And then the other thing, which is, well, if we're going to give away free headphones with these things, we may as well make them great headphones rather than just sending them out to the lowest bidder somewhere. So. But again, you understand. I've said in the past about how it's not always relevant for, it's not always important for Apple to make things thinner like the Retina MacBook. But you can see why they want to make a phone thinner because again, it kind of disappears in the hand, and that's good. I'm going to pass this on to somebody else. You can get another chance at it, but really, really remarkable experience holding on to it.
Is the LTE turned on? Are you able to try the LTE, or is that something that?
I haven't tried the LTE. Everything's on Wi-Fi, and it's probably a very, very cluttered environment. The first time that I tried to, of course, get my self-indulgent screenshots of the phone with the Sun-Times site on it and my personal site on it, it took a little while for the first burst of people trying to get their own personal websites up on the phone, their own personal newspapers up on the phone. It took a while. But after that, it was very, very, very zippy. I also want to talk about how really wonderful the 3D Maps feature is. I think we've used some of these features in the past where you think, well, that's kind of cute if you've got that much time to just, again, see if you can see through the windows of your apartment building on that, and then you never use it again. This is so liquid and so fluid that I could really see myself using it as a way to think, oh, damn it, I know that Nanking Palace is supposed to be somewhere on this street. Where the hell is it? And then actually doing about a mile worth of legwork on the phone rather than having to do it on actual foot. I mean, it is completely interactive, completely fluid, works brilliantly. There are some new kind of gestures to learn to get to street level if you want a more lower camera angle on what you're looking at, but you get the hang of it pretty darn quickly. Also, coverage is not absolutely in-depth at this point. I wanted to, for instance, the demo phones are set up with bookmarks for popular landmarks. So I was in Chicago and, of course, was able to get to the Sears Tower, but could not find the Sun-Times building. I would probably have had to navigate directly. So if you want that really cool, I'm riding a 20th floor helicopter around the building. Those are going to be for specific landmarks that have definitely already been cataloged. For other things like the famous giant chrome bean in Millennium Park, you can definitely see it. You can definitely helicopter around it, but you're not going to be able to, you know, land the helicopter and get a ground floor peep at it. So clearly, even as a first day demo, it was a great demo. I look forward to seeing how good this is going to be in about a year. How it's going to be in about a year when they've got more of this populated.
Did you get a chance to play with the camera at all? Can you tell if it's improved?
I have not been able to. Oh my God, I'm within 10 feet of Foo Fighters. I am with 10 feet of Foo Fighters.
We'll let you go kiss Dave Grohl if you want. It's okay.
And 10 feet of, yeah, exactly. I'm basically making sure that I'm not going to get in people's way. There is a. Oops, sorry, excuse me.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, use your iPhone, man.
Oh.
See the panoramic shot.
Sorry. They're lining up for a very lovely photo.
I think Andy Anako, who is at the hands-on right now at the Apple event, is
having more fun than we are.
Yeah, he's a Foo Fighter fan. This I did not know.
My favorite bands. I once canceled plans. They're playing live on Letterman, let alone anything else. Sorry.
He's actually touching Dave Grohl's hem right now.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Love all your stuff. I just interacted with a Foo Fighter. Two Foo Fighters.
Well, I'm glad it was worth flying Andy out just for that. Andy, we'll let you go. I know you're going to want to spend more time with the Foo Fighters and the phone.
No, I'm looking forward. Well, the thing is, it's probably good that I'm talking to you because otherwise I'd be sort of saying, well, why don't I just say hello and see if we can get lunch together. But I'm being distracted by something else rather than geeking out. Say hello to Tom Gruber, by the way.
Hey, how you doing?
By the way. It's if you're looking to fill out your tech pundit bingo card, you would have filled it up in about the first 6 minutes.
I don't think he is. Andy, have fun. We'll let you go.
I am, and I'll talk to you later.
All right. Andy Anako, very happy I know, more so about the Foo Fighters probably than the iPhone 5.
Although I think it's interesting that he said it's so much lighter than it looks, because it doesn't really look that much lighter when you're seeing the images. But he's not the only one. I'm seeing on Twitter people saying, wow, this MG said it feels hollow.
Yeah.
It's not actually hollow, but...
feels hollow.
The thing is the weight is not that different. 140 grams for the 4S versus 112 grams for the 5.
But remember, it's bigger. So when something is
weight
bigger...
weight distribution...
but weighs less or the same.
And thinner also makes it seem lighter in general.
7.6 millimeters is less than half an... I mean, it's tiny. That's very thin.
It's like 2.5 dimes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And interestingly, the screen is only, they said, 9 millimeters taller. So I think what... you know, the phone itself is only 9 millimeters taller, so it sounds like they've shrunk the bezel a little bit to get that larger screen. I have to say, I like the look of the black phone. The carbon black anodized back looks really stylish.
It does. It's interesting that the black and white phones are not only just black and white, but the backs are totally different.
Yeah.
It's just a whole different look.
I'm going with the black this time. I just think that really really looks nice. Let us, we began a kind of abrupt version of Mac Break Weekly. Hello, everybody. Leo Laporte in the Twit Brickhouse Studios, covering, of course, Apple's big new announcement. And our panel for Mac Break Weekly consists of, well, Andy Iannocco, who is now in Foo Fighter heaven. Sarah Lane joining us from i5 for the iPhone, iPad Today, and TNT, plus
yes.
The Social Hour.
Of course.
And from New York City, Alex Lindsay, who I'm sure has been watching the event with great interest. And from Upper New York State, it's Mac OS Ken Ray. Great to have you, Ken.
Thanks a lot, Leo.
Let's start with your thoughts, Ken Ray.
I don't know. It's kind of exciting. I mean, it's first of all, there's a reason that I don't gamble. I was wrong about a lot of things. I thought they were going to push out Macs in the first 5 minutes and get them out of the way. And when they started off with the Mac numbers, I thought, yeah, I thought that's what they were doing, but not. I also didn't think they were going to call it iPhone 5. And a lot of people made fun of me, and I stuck to my guns, and my guns have misfired.
but I have to point out that almost every pundit in the world described exactly what we got. There weren't really any surprises.
No, there weren't. Which, I mean, on the one hand, you can kind of be disappointed by that. But on the other hand... I mean, it's kind of how it has to go, it seems to me. I mean, they might have come out with something really whiz-bang, or they might have changed the design just to change the design, but you will hear these words for the next couple of weeks at least, the whole evolutionary, not revolutionary thing. I mean, they keep evolving it, but evolution's a cool thing. I mean, it's, you know...
I have to say, it's sad. You know, the focus here is on size, both bigger and smaller. Bigger screen, a 4-inch screen, 1136 by 640, 5 rows of icons, but thinner... lighter. Even the SIM card is reduced. It's that nano SIM that was so controversial that Apple pushed.
Did they ever mention the nano SIM?
They did not, but they do mention it on the site.
Uh-huh.
In fact, in some ways, Apple was more forthcoming about how the phone is made. I've never before seen Apple show the inside of the phone at an event like this. They did this time in a video with Bob Mansfield. They're talking a lot about how they had to shrink things down. I think that's partly to justify the Lightning connector, which they say is 80% smaller than the 30-pin connector. The camera, although as good, in fact, perhaps a little bit better than the iPhone 4S, is 20% smaller. The A6 chip is twice as fast as the A5 in the previous iPhone, but 22% smaller. So the iPhone is both bigger and smaller, which is kind of interesting. In fact, that probably is the illusion that people like M.G. Siegler are referring to, where you're getting what looks to be a bigger volume, but it feels lighter, it feels trimmer, it feels thinner. Did you watch Alex Lindsay from New York, the event?
I watched the comments going by. So, you know, so I kind of read along as it went through. And again, we're not that surprised. And again, like I've said before, I'm amazed that I have what I consider a state-of-the-art phone until the day they announce the next one. And then I'm just like, oh, it's obsolete. It's obsolete. So, but the phone looks very, I'm excited. I was excited about the panorama. You know, I just in an old fogey that I am, you know, I started doing panoramas in 1993 with film, and it was an all day process to get one panorama. And now you're picking up a phone and just waving it around. Not that I'm bitter.
I mean, I have to point out, and I know I'm going to be hated for it, that this is a feature that Android has had for some time.
And it'll be interesting to see if it, you know, how it looks feature. I mean, you know, when you're looking at these things, I find that there's definitely a lot of you know, Android stuff that when I'm playing with my S2, I haven't gotten the S3 yet, that I'm excited to see. But the to see how well the panorama works compared to what Android has.
Yeah. And this is where Apple, you know, and the truth is a lot of what is happening here, we want to see the new iTunes. We want to see it, the new iOS 6. We want to try it. We won't know how good the camera is until we actually could take pictures. We won't know how good the earbuds sound until we actually can hear them. So it's one thing to watch Apple and
I have a hard time believing that. I have a hard time believing those earbuds are going to work.
At $29, I don't know why. we'll see.
Well, they sure talked them up. I think it's curious. Pretty much, you heard across the board that folks thought the pre-orders would be open already.
Yeah.
September 12th. We thought, oh, that's going to be great. Same day. You know, you go with the momentum. You get a lot of people pre-ordering. It's weird to me that we're waiting a couple of days.
That feels like almost something they didn't want to do but had to do.
Somehow, I think because they're launching, the availability will be in so many more countries on the 21st.
Maybe that's it.
That's probably something that they said, right. Okay, well, we're going to sacrifice a couple days issue. In the U.S. Yeah. So that we have a big release,
same
an actual,
day.
Yeah, people with iPhones in their hands on the 21st in more places. It also gives you enough time to talk yourself out of it. Or maybe into it.
I agree with you.
Go ahead. I think it gives you enough time to think about it, too. I mean, I think that for a lot of people now with multiple carriers and everything else, because one of the things that we're really looking at as a family, because I have, you know, everyone with all these iPhones, is whether we stay with AT&T or whether we move to Verizon. We can't get reception in parts of our house, and so most likely we're going to move to Verizon. But it's nice to not feel like you have to knee-jerk and pre-order the moment they did the announcement to know that you're going to get your phone in the next month. So I think having the 2 days to digest it, I think, makes a big difference, too.
They do sell, I know, you know, on day one, a million phones or whatever, but that's not the bulk of all the sales. I mean, that's just that first big kick. But
well, the first big kick is important this time, though, because they're doing it in the last week of or the last 2 weeks of the quarter.
Ah,
I mean, you've had a few people. Piper Jaffray analyst Gene Munster was the first one to come out and say, if they actually sell during the last week of this fiscal year, which is the last week of the fiscal year, but also the last week of the September quarter, then everybody's iPhone estimates are wrong.
Right.
Now, what people are arguing about is, okay, well, how many will they sell in that first weekend? He thinks they could go as high as, I want to say 10 million, which seems excessive, but it's possible, I guess. And so,
that makes a huge difference in the bottom line.
Yeah, and part of what makes it possible is that I think there are a lot of people who skipped the 4S. You know, so there's a lot of people, obviously, that bought it, but there are a lot of people that decided that wasn't a big enough upgrade and were waiting for the next one. So this usually, I think we've seen these bumps happen with every other iPhone, that because it is an evolution, people tend to skip them.
We're talking with Mac OS Ken Ray, Alex Lindsay, Sarah Lane. We had Andy Iannacco early in the show. If you missed it, go rewind.
He saw Dave Grohl and went running.
We lost him to the Foo Fighters. But no, it's very exciting. And I think that I'm glad that Andy came out, and we'll have him come up here at some point and join us. You're watching Mac Break Weekly. We will continue our analysis of the new iPhone 5 in just a little bit. But our show today brought to you by our friends at Citrix, who do the great GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Somebody just sent me an article from the New York Times. I thought this was fascinating. It was a psych study was done at Cornell, where they had students. It was a trust exercise. They had students play this game and to strategize the game depending on how much you trusted the other person. Before they had them play the game, they would have them talk for 5 minutes to a person, and they taped it and they watched very carefully, and then asked them later, did you trust that person? Watch how they played the game. And they found something very interesting. There are four cues that people reliably use to decide whether they trust you, and they're all visual. They did it two ways. They had people in an IM conversation, and they did it in real life. And it turned out that the people who were in real life had a much stronger sense of trust or distrust based on visual cues. It was arms folded. I can't remember what all four of them were. I'll find out, because I'm sure you'd be interested. But it was a recent article in the New York Times. the reason I bring that up is because seeing somebody is absolutely crucial to making a bond, to making a connection, to knowing how the conversation's going. You can be in an instant messenger and even an audio conversation and not get as much information. The new GoToMeeting has HD faces, and that is huge in terms of building trust. People use GoToMeeting a lot, of course, for sales, and it's great for that. And if you're talking to a client, you really want to see their face. More importantly, you want them to see your face so they know whether they can trust you. But also great if you're doing team meetings, collaborating with somebody, just working together. GoToMeeting, now with HD faces, allows you to see the people you're talking to as well as their screens. And that is fantastic. By the way, it works great on an iPad. You can listen to an iPhone, but if you're using an iPad, the camera on the iPad works. You can start the meeting from a Mac or a PC, and suddenly you're there. It is really fantastic. Try it free right now. GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code MACBREAK. And I think you'll see what I mean, that seeing people's faces, their expressions, their body language makes a huge difference. Click that promo code link and make sure you put in MACBREAK when you try it today. GoToMeeting.com. I'm going to jump all over the place because there's so many different things to talk about. I thought one of the most interesting announcements, they're killing the 3GS. That's gone. But they are going to offer the iPhone 4 free at AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint. I think that that is going to sell a lot of iPhones. I think there's a lot of people who didn't get iPhones who are swayed by the price. Now, I said that it's silly in the U.S. because it's not the price of the phone that matters. It's the monthly cost. And somebody tweeted me, they said, that's true in the U.S., but not internationally, that the price of the phone is a big deal in the U.S. Now, it's only an 8-gigabyte iPhone 4, but I think the people who are looking for a free phone are pretty happy with an 8-gigabyte. I think that's going to jumpstart sales of the iPhone as well. And it brings up the conversation about the price. It's pretty clear. Alex, you and Andy both have always said Apple doesn't chase the bottom. We thought maybe that with a challenge from Amazon at the low end, from Google with the Nexus 7 at the low end, that Amazon and Google might force lower prices. We're not seeing
that. Well, I definitely think they prefer to, they're really pushed on their features, on the features that they provide, on the services, and on the ease of use. I think that they're more focused on that. I think there's more pressure, to be honest, on the iPad side than on the iPhone side as far as competing for price, because they really have a version that's available for free. So that's, with the iPad, they have a much larger cliff here because of service agreements, 2-year service agreements, and so on and so forth. They do have the ability to provide someone with an iPhone for free, and most consumers in the United States still pay attention to the fact that the phone is free, whether it makes a difference or not.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody mentioned a crystallized
Sapphire
in any production. That's the one thing that we all went, what?
Sapphire lens on the camera.
Yeah.
There's some minor improvements to the camera. It's still an 8-megapixel camera, but they've got a floating element. They've got infrared filters.
Faster photo capture.
Faster capture is a big deal.
Better low light performance, if true, is very helpful.
Right. It is f2.4, but that's the same as the iPhone 4S. What do you think, Alex? True. You're the photographer. What do you think?
I think that the low light performance is more important than any other feature they can add to the phone.
And that's what, by the way, Nokia's pushing with the Lumia is low light performance. Yeah.
They should spend more time on that, more money on that. I don't think we need more resolution. I think what we need to do is have faster frame rates at lower resolutions, less blur, more clarity, less grain. That's, I think, for the average consumer using their phone, taking pictures, I know when I'm taking it, that's my number one complaint, is that it's too dark, it's too grainy, or it's too blurred. And those are the things, that's all that matters. I think that chasing the resolution any further than it has already gone, I think, is a waste of time.
And panorama.
That too.
Well, there's that. Of course.
You mentioned Sapphire.
Really, really quickly about panorama, you were talking about this being an Android thing. I was more thinking about apps in the App Store that have had that space.
That's
themselves.
Right. There's quite a few.
360 panorama I've been using for about the past year and a half, and I'm guessing the day I get my iPhone 5, I won't anymore. And it's, thank you very much. It's been really nice, but I just need to use what's on my phone.
Right.
I mean, I feel kind of bad for them because they saw
Sherlock.
If they've been reading the blogs and the news stories and all that, then they knew it was coming. But still, you kind of feel bad for them the day it happened.
You mentioned Sapphire. There's also diamonds in this. In particular to the bezeling on the edges. They're using some sort of diamond polishing technique. And you know what? Yeah. Look at this video.
It's actually a Johnny Ive video that explains it.
This does, in fact, one of the things I think really the fit and finish here on the diamond, look how much nicer that looks than the iPhone 4. I think that's going to, that's...
All I can see is thinner.
Yeah, no, look at the edge.
I mean, in real life.
Look at the edge.
Well, okay.
Look at the edge. That's better.
Well, you...
It's lighter.
I can't feel the diamond. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you'll feel the diamond.
Well,
maybe.
We'll see. We'll see. I want to feel the diamond.
It makes the iPhone 4S look just clunky.
Well, yeah. It's also, I haven't even seen the 5, and I'm already like, this is just going to seem so small and dinky. I can, you know how Apple's so good at that.
Right. Is the screen,
an outdated phone.
Is the screen size enough to compete with these much larger Galaxy S's and Galaxy Notes, and LG now has a big screen. Is 4 inches on an iPhone enough, or do people even compare?
I find that, you know, I think that my S2, I don't think has the same resolution, you know, that it has. And I definitely notice that it's bigger, but it feels softer too.
Right.
And so I don't, to me,
well, all the newer phones are Retina. I mean, right. Even the Amazon Kindle is Retina now.
Right. So, but I haven't felt like I needed to be any bigger. I actually have found it to be more. I mean, because I thought that I would like the S2 better. I haven't upgraded the S3 yet, but I thought I would like the screen better than the iPhone. And I found that just overall comfort, it was just easier to carry the iPhone around and use it. I didn't feel like I needed to have more screen real estate.
I do think 16:9 is important.
Sure.
Yes. I've always been kind of curious why they didn't do that earlier. It seemed odd that they didn't just go to a pure 16:9. At the beginning, it just seemed like that should be the format that they used. So it's interesting. I'm glad that they finally did it, but I'm just surprised that didn't come out in iPhone 1.
Right. Also, the front camera has gotten an upgrade.
That's
got
big.
A 720p sensor now.
It wasn't a very good camera, and I think with FaceTime
it's
having
VGA.
720p is going to be a big improvement. It was 640 by 480.
Someone's calling you.
Scott Jordan on the line. Let me just hang up on that. Sorry,
great,
Scott.
Great
I'm in the middle
tone.
Of a show right now. I'm going to change it to the Foo Fighters now.
You should.
Yeah. All my ringtones will be
Times
Foo
like
Fighters.
These, I guess, is their new mantra.
Let's talk about the connector. That was another rumor that I was not thrilled about because I have a fairly large investment in 30-pin cables, docks, doohickeys. There's a lot of people who actually have 30-pin connectors in their car. It's going to be a lot harder to fix that. They went to the 9-pin connector. They call it Lightning.
And it's also a magnetic based connector. So this is the same as the impression I had, at least, is the same as what we have in our laptops.
It's a MagSafe? It's not going to fall out because of a magnet?
I think that it's MagSafe.
They did say it's a reversible, which I think is great. So it's not held in by friction. It's held in by a magnet.
Yeah, so it's a magnet. It's not MagSafe.
That's not good for me.
Why?
I didn't realize that.
Because I'm one of those horrible people who like pulls my phone to me by the end of the cord. That's not going to be good for me from now on.
We can't encourage that, though.
And every,
I'm not right. encouraging
let
it.
Let me look at it. All new Lightning connector. Smaller, smarter, reversible. It's reversible.
I thought that I saw it go by that it was basically like a MagSafe, or at least that's the impression I had looking at it.
I sometimes have my iPhone dangling from the connector.
Well, you want
in a
you
small
know,
space.
The truth is,
use it as a defense mechanism.
You really wouldn't want to do that even with a micro USB because, I mean, you have a latch on the 30-pin connector. Those are gone right. No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a magnet.
I don't believe it's a magnet. If you look here, there's
looks
dimples
friction.
On the side of
looks
the,
like friction.
Of the connector.
It's dimpled. Says Chad.
You may call it pregnant.
No. Chad.
But I will say that there was a...
Dimpled is not pregnant, Chad. Do you not understand the difference?
Sorry. You can hang me later.
It's chubby. Dimpled.
I think that as the father of two small kids, the one thing about the 30-pin connector is that we replaced two iPads.
They break easily, yeah.
Because there's these two little railings that are sit inside of that 30-pin, and they often get bent to one of them. If you pull it sideways... You get one of them bent, and then all there is to do is take it back in and hope you have AppleCare.
Yeah. No, I think this is it's pretty clearly a better connector. Some of the rumors were that it would be a faster connector. Apple didn't say anything about that. They just called it Lightning. What else is there to say about the connector? They are going to offer an adapter. I don't see.
We didn't get a price on that.
But let me see if the store has it yet. I don't see it. iPhone accessories. Yeah, they're not selling it.
A friend of mine
yet.
Used to say that Apple has one price.
Here it is.
That.
$29. I nailed it. Yeah. Lightning to 30. It's all, everything's $29.
Just say 29. You'll probably be
Lightning
right.
to 30-pin adapter.
Saw some complaints online about this, of all the adapters that people would need. But you figure, I mean, if you've got the phone and you've got the adapter.
You just need one adapter.
Yeah, the adapter kind of stays with the phone. So,
You know what? I'm going to keep my 4S for my Sonos dock and my Renew clock and my. You know, I have a variety of devices, but I can use this for that. And
how about
and the adapters are actually pretty good. Have you gotten the adapter for the Retina laptop?
Yes, right here.
Have you noticed that it's actually if you use an old Apple power supply that adapter?
I think I just unplugged him. Oh, wait a minute, let me put it back together again. Oh, no. I unplugged Alex.
Poor Alex.
Oh, no.
He's really on a roll.
Was he going to talk about tolerances? Because the tolerances are fairly tight. This is pretty good.
There, he's coming back.
He's back. That was just a brief blip. I'll plug you back in. Hi, Alex. What were you saying? Were you talking about the tolerances?
You know, what I think actually happened there is I unplugged mine to show it, and I think it switched. It did something to my connection.
Plug it back in. Okay. Saying how nice the tolerances were? What were you saying? Because you had the old adapter?
That with the adapter, it actually has a very strong latching.
Yeah.
Much stronger than either the old one or the new one. It's like it's magnifying the attraction or something like that. So
you're right. I can't. It's you're right.
Like that's the way I would get them now. I mean, like I just want to get old power adapters and then adapt them for the new ones.
Adapt them. I guess I'm gonna have to live with that. It's interesting because they did show the Bowers and Wilkins iPod speaker. They showed another device. They're saying, look, everybody's gonna have these connectors. So obviously, they told a few people. Logitech's UE mobile boombox. They told a few people. What's interesting also is that all of these devices, not just the iPhone, but the iPods too, will have Bluetooth. So maybe the connector isn't quite as important as it once was. Maybe you'll just use Bluetooth speakers.
I mean, hopefully they're using the full Bluetooth spectrum. I didn't see them talk about that.
It said Bluetooth 4, which is good.
Okay, because in the past, the Apple has used a very limited version of Bluetooth that does not really allow, full high-quality audio.
Oh, really? All right.
Yeah.
I mean, the bottom of the iPhone is, I mean, it's really totally different. You've got the headphone jack down on the lower left. You've got speakers on either side of the 9-pin connector. I mean, there just was no room for anything else before.
I also wonder how long before they start updating the iPads and the other 30-pin devices to start putting Lightning everywhere. They're going to put it on all the new products for sure, but do you think they'll retrofit iPads and maybe even these iPhones that they're going to give away to have Lightning?
Well, Rene Ritchie over at iMore said, of course, a couple of months ago that he thought that they were going to do that for all of their devices today. I think a lot of people sort of said that wasn't going to happen. I think he kind of backed off that after a while. There was a report the other day, though, that said that they're actually retooling. And, it's all rumor and speculation and blah, blah, blah. But that they're actually retooling the third generation iPad right now.
Right.
So if there's going to be an iPad mini event, then maybe they do that then. It wasn't just going to be retooled for the 30-pin dock connector, though, for the 9-pin dock connector. It was going to be retooled for something to do with the display. And I can't remember off the top of my head what that was. But maybe they would. It still feels weird, though, that you would have a new iPad, like full-sized iPad, even if you're going to make changes, have it, 6 months before you're expecting the next iPad? Full-size. Unless they're going to change that up, too, which, of course, they did with the iPhone. I mean, it used to be we would be having this discussion in June.
By the way, don't be deceived by the name Lightning. It's still USB 2.0. It is not USB 3.
Somebody had mentioned on one of the blogs, Thunderbolt. If you look at the Thunderbolt port, but it looks a little like a little Lightning graphic. Yeah. So what's the little Lightning graphic going to have? if anything.
Really? Thunderbolt look
and
like
who will
lightning?
Be confused?
That's very, very frightening.
Yeah, well, what's a thunderbolt look like?
You're right.
It looks like lightning.
Thunderbolt looks like lightning. I don't know.
Ryan Black on Twitter says, great. I used the iPhone 5 for 10 minutes, and now my iPhone 4S feels tiny, fat, and ugly. And that's how they get me
that's
every time.
Just what Apple's hoping. Yep. I think more and more from the people who are in this demo room, Andy Yanako, MG Siegler, now Ryan Block, that's what we're hearing. And it's funny. I remember when the iPad came out, it was the people who held it who really got it first. And it may well be that that's really what you have to do to get what's new about the iPhone 5. It's not look at the specs, not look at the screen, but feel it in your hand.
Feel those diamonds
lighter.
And those sapphires.
I'm telling you, the diamond bezel is what sold me.
You know, the crystallized sapphire on
that's
the
what
lens.
Sells you.
Well, that's part of it. The iPhone 4S has a great camera. I'm happy to see
it's
how low light
lens.
gets upgraded. Yeah. But once your lens is scratched,
yeah.
I mean that's it right there.
Right.
So if it's going to scratch a lot less when you're throwing it, you know, and you're getting scratched in your keys or whatever else might be in your bag, your purse, or your whatever laptop bag, that's great.
We also talk a lot about how the iPhone looks and everything, but almost everybody uses a case, don't they?
I don't use a case.
You don't use a case.
Mm-mm.
Do you use a case,
no.
Alex? Ken? No?
No.
Oh.
I do sometimes when I'm traveling, just because I don't want to be the jerk who drops his phone when he's traveling and then, you know, right. be stuck without it. But the second I get home, I take the case off.
Yeah.
Sometimes if I'm going to be out and about for a while because I have a Mophie battery pack.
Then you'll use
that
it.
That works right. like a case, but that's not something I'm always walking around with because it is quite a bit heavier and bulkier.
Right. You have to get a new Mophie.
Yeah.
Hey, can I ask a question that's kind of random? It's
yeah.
away from the hardware. Do you think the biggest, and I know it's not news because we all expected it to be a 4G LTE phone, but do you think the biggest news today was the fact that it is 4G LTE? There was a story that came out the other day from IDC that said that they're guessing that there are right now 14 million people using 4G, or LTE, excuse me.
Wow.
Worldwide.
So triple worldwide. Or quadruple that.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. Right. I mean, I was amazed to hear that after the millions of dollars that Verizon has spent and after all the emphasis that AT&T is putting on what they're going to be doing with their, you know, 4G coverage and Sprint, God bless them. They're going to have 4G at some point too, or LTE at some point as well. To hear that after all of that money and all of that talk for the past year and a half, there are 14 million people on the planet using it. This time next year, that number has changed drastically.
Oh, yeah. Four or five times more. Sprint, by the way, 2 days ago, maybe it was yesterday, announced a whole bunch new LTE cities. Sprint's running as fast as they can to get LTE.
Yeah, but didn't they just say at some point? I mean, it's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know,
they didn't say a
date.
No, you're right.
I mean, they're all playing games. I got an email from AT&T the other day saying, now you have 4G. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. And then I looked at it again. And I said, wait a minute. Now I have 4G or now I have LTE. And, of course, I went back and looked. And they're talking about their, I don't want to say stupid because it's not, but they're talking about their they're talking about their plus.
HSPA plus, yeah. In fact, on your phone, there was a, remember that update to the iPhone? I got all excited. That
it
all it did was
all
changed, yeah, changed it to 4G.
Right.
I thought we got, and no, it wasn't LTE.
No.
LTE is what we're talking about. Sprint said that they're going to add 100 cities to LTE in the coming months.
Right.
Rapid deployments.
You know, a lot of people wondered if LTE was going to affect battery life negatively.
You know, this is one thing that they talked about battery life on here, and it is a smaller chip, so presumably sips power. It sounds like there's going to be better battery life on this device.
Yeah. When you look at data, right? Data on 3G with the 4S, up to 6 hours.
You're saying 8 hours with LTE.
8 hours. So not only is it constant, but you're getting a little bit of at least a boost when you're using data. That's what I'm using all day. The
right.
talk time is not as important because I talk as little as possible.
Yeah. Who does anymore?
Yeah. But... the video and audio, that's all pretty constant. We got a little bit of a bump on standby mode if you're not going to be using your phone for a while, but that's impressive. That's great.
It sounds good, and I want to try it.
Real world.
My guess is it's just going to be the same. But you're doing more. You've got a bigger screen. You're pushing more pixels. You're doing LTE.
If things are faster, but your battery
is just
constant,
is about the same.
That'll be good.
I mean, I think that's a win. The iPhone 4S has fairly good battery life, fairly competitive battery life. I do want to talk about prices. I do want to talk about software. And we haven't really talked about the iPods because there are two new iPods as well. We're going to talk about all of that with Mac OS Ken. Ken Ray does the Mac OS Ken Daily podcast. Have you done your show for today? I guess not. You're probably waiting till after the announcement.
Yeah, I'm actually, well, of course, I was waiting for after the announcement, but then I'm also, I'll go out and, you know, talk about how Dan Lyon said it sucked before it even came out.
Did he really?
That's what I heard. I haven't checked it yet because all I've been doing is following this. Although
that's
I believe,
so Dan.
I want to say when I was following on Twitter this morning, Michael Gartenberg and somebody else were talking about an article that says the iPhone 5 is boring. You know, before it actually even came out.
But the truth is, it is boring. As you said, we're going to be saying revolutionary, not evolutionary.
Other way around.
But remember, the 4S was pretty boring and is the best-selling iPhone in history. So,
right.
Boring ain't bad from Apple's point of view.
It's only boring for people who aren't already in the ecosystem. It's only boring, I think, for people who are looking for a gadget. I mean, to answer your question about will the 4-inch screen for the iPhone, you know, be enough to fight the Samsung Galaxy S whatever with the 9-inch screen for a phone? No, if that's what somebody's looking for. I mean, if what they're looking for is the most screen real estate they can get, then no, absolutely not. But if they're looking for something that's going to fit into a cohesive ecosystem, or if they're just looking for the next device from Apple, then, you know, they're going to be glad to have the extra screen size, but it's like we talked about before with LTE. I mean, they're going to be very glad about the LTE speed once they actually have it. But if the iPhone 5 came out without LTE, Wall Street would have gone nuts, and tech pundits would have gone nuts, and moms and dads and kids would have gone to the store and bought the iPhone 5. So, I mean, it's a great upgrade for people who are looking to upgrade. But no, the size of this is not going to keep anybody who says, you know, what I really want is, you know, a screen as big as a plate.
And there's a lot of people who really like to soup up their cars and everything else, but most people just want to turn the ignition and have it work. So boring is not necessarily bad.
And if there was anything about Samsung in this keynote, and there really wasn't, but if there was anything, it was the slight jab at Samsung's bigger screen sizes by saying, we wanted to make it so you could still use it in one hand. And Miss Puny Hands over here. Clearly, that was an issue for you.
Well, it's a potential issue, yes.
But are
when
you?
I hold
that's
this,
too big. Now that's the Galaxy S3. It's 4.3 inches.
It's possible, but I can't really.
It's not, you can't thumb
it. I can't maneuver. It's the thumb problem.
Right.
Small thumbs.
Now, do you feel if there's not any wider, and of course that means you can hold it the same.
Sure. But I don't know how much, you know what I mean?
It's only 9 millimeters. That's nothing. You could do that.
Yeah.
It's just that.
I mean, I think it'll be okay.
A third of an inch, Sarah Lane.
I think it's probably just going to feel very tall and skinny at first. Right.
But you know what? It'll be good. You'll be doing thumb stretches. It'll be, you can.
I'm going to get RSI quickly.
I would suggest now you just start doing just little thumb stretches to get the ligaments a little stretched out. And then you'll be able to get right to the top of it. Just like that. Just. Everybody could do this along with us. Just stretch your arm out straight and pull the thumb back just a little bit. She's not doing it. I don't know.
I'm not paying attention to you because I'm reading about how the Apple's dev side is down, which probably means Goldmaster for iOS 6 is
being cranked out.
Pushed out. Yes.
And that's why you don't get iOS 6 for a little while because they want to give it to developers and make sure that it doesn't break everything in sight.
Yes.
More coming up with tiny hands.
just try to keep the chain moving. That's all I'm doing.
Sarah Lane. Are we going to change i5 for the iPhone right away? I mean, what are we going to do?
What do you mean?
It's the iPhone 5. That's good. The good news.
Right.
It's almost as if you planned that.
For the next 12 months.
You're good.
Yeah.
You're golden.
i5 for the iPhone.
And the next time we'll do i6
for the iPhone. It's five things for the iPhone, right. So it will always be i5.
Is it a coincidence you have five fingers?
No.
Mm-mm.
It is no coincidence at all. Yes, it is.
And we're going to also stretch the monitor behind you so that there's a fifth row of icons. Did you know that?
We're going to have to.
We're going to buy new monitors, new i5.
16 by 9, everybody.
16 by 9 monitors. Also here, Mac OS Ken, as I mentioned, Ken Ray, and of course, Alex Lindsay. Who are you working in New York, or are you there for fun?
I'm always working.
Yeah, this guy.
If I'm doing anything for fun, I'm home.
We miss you a lot. I'm so glad that you could join us for this special Mac Break Weekly.
Glad to be here.
I got to tell people, I've been telling them, it's not too late. Go to Gazelle. You see this phone? You want this phone? Gazelle, your old phone, right now. Gazelle.com. Find out what that iPhone is worth, or your old Samsung or Nokia, even your old BlackBerry at gazelle.com. It's the easy way to get that old stuff out of your life and get some new stuff into your life and get some cash in the process. Let's look. I wonder if the price has been tumbling. I'm going to see my iPhone 4S from AT&T. It's a 32-gigger. I think it was $270 last time I checked. $280. All right, lock that in for 30 days. Do it right now. If it's in flawless condition, $290. You know what? I think the price went up. I think it's actually worth more.
How's that possible?
I don't know, but I would take advantage of this glitch in the system right now.
Do it now.
Go to gazelle.com. They'll lock this offer in for 30 days. What's nice is they pay the postage on any gadget worth more than a buck. Obviously, your iPhone 4S is worth a lot more than a buck. This pays for your new phone. This is awesome. They also will wipe it, so you don't have to worry about the data on it. They're data experts in the process of assessing the condition, wipe all the data off of it. It's just a great way to keep it moving, to recycle the old gadgets. And maybe you've got an iPhone 4, you know, and you're ready to, you waited. I'm just curious. iPhone 4 is worth $189. So you're really going to be a long way towards your purchase of your new iPhone. Now, here's the deal. You pile all that stuff up in a box. They pay the shipping. They check out the gadget, and then they pay you fast. You can choose from a check, of course, or PayPal. But my recommendation, get an Amazon gift card, because that Amazon gift card gets a 5% bonus on the value paid. So you add 5% when you get an Amazon gift card. Do it today. Your iPhone's going to lose value every single day you wait. They paid almost $50 million to over 300,000 customers in the last couple of years. That's really great. Gazelle.com, the easy way to recycle. And boy, now's the time to take advantage of Gazelle. Gazelle.com.
That iOS 6 Gold Master is out, by the way.
It just came out. Good news.
Yeah.
So if you're a dev, you'll get it. You can get it right away. Start checking your stuff to make sure it works in the simulator.
And if you had an iPhone 4, you could get your $199 from Gazelle, and then you get a free iPhone 4.
Wow. You'd be like up $200.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
And you get a new phone.
Right.
What the heck is going on in this world of ours?
It's fuzzy math.
I didn't even think of that.
But you would lose at least 8 gigabytes of storage.
You go to 8 gigs.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So go for the $99 iPhone 4S. Then you get your Siri. Then you got your at least 16 gigabytes of data.
Yeah, I don't know why people pay so much attention to the price of the phone. I really don't. You're going to spend thousands over the two-year plan, right?
It's a lot of psychological.
Psychological?
Yeah.
It's what you have to shell out to get into the game.
Well, why don't people have more prepaid plans?
Good question.
You know?
Is there a month-to-month is Boost? Cricket offers an iPhone. Who offers an iPhone? Somebody does.
Cricket and Virgin.
And they're month-to-month, right?
Yeah. Well,
and the reason you don't want to offer people month-to-month is because people use it less. They pay less money.
I know.
I use month-to-month overseas, and you're constantly running out of minutes.
Not profitable. iPhone Web 5489 in our chat rooms on the Apple Store page in the UK. He says it doesn't mention LTE, but Apple did say that it will be available for LTE, I think, on Orange. And I can't remember the two providers in the UK. But, yes, there will be LTE worldwide, which is kind of an amazing thing. Anything else to touch on before we move on from the iPhone 5? Bigger screen, 4-inch screen, taller, 5-icon row in a row. It's going to have that new connector, the lightning connector that's reversible. I know that seems a little thing. But just to know that you're always going to put it in right is great. It's like the MagSafe adapter. It doesn't matter which way you put it in. The headphone jack is on the bottom. You'll get these new ear pods, which Apple says are completely redesigned. You could also buy those standalone for $29. A better camera with sapphire for the lens. Diamond cut corners make it look prettier, thinner, lighter, faster, better battery life. What's not to love about the new iPhone 5? You cannot pre-order it. Yet, you have to wait a couple of days. You can go to the Apple site and read all about it. But pre-orders start September 14th, or you can buy it starting at 8 a.m. local time on Friday, September 21st. Do you think you'll go to the store?
No. My goodness, no.
Oh,
Does anybody? It's too bad because the lines are the funnest thing about buying an iPhone.
I think I actually have to go to the store because I'm going to a wedding on Friday the 21st. Why anybody has a wedding on Friday? Oh, hi, if you're watching, by the way. Sorry.
It's cheaper.
Is that why?
Well, That's probably why, yes.
Whatever
Saturdays
the case,
are the more expensive days.
If I'm waiting for the FedEx guy, I'm not leaving for the wedding. So I'm thinking I actually probably have to go to the store.
Oh, good point. And they do make you sign. You do kind of have. Well, you can go on that form and say, no, I'm not going to sign. Just leave it at the door. I'm sure my neighbor's honest.
Then he won't have it at the wedding. You don't understand. There won't be anything to show off.
I was going to say, I think you're missing my point. If I'm waiting for an iPhone 5, I'm waiting for an iPhone 5.
I got it.
I'm not, you know.
So you're going to get in line.
Hope the chicken dance someplace.
You're going to get in line really. Now, Buffalo, there's probably not big lines.
Oh, no. Sure there are. Because we've got one Apple store.
Oh, there's one store. And did you are you going to do AT&T or Verizon up there?
I'll do AT&T just because I have AT&T.
That was a question everybody was asking. What happens to my grandfathered AT&T unlimited plan when we go LTE? Do I still have unlimited data on LTE?
Well, I do on...
on your iPad.
Yeah, that's right. We thought, AT&T will never roll that over, and they sure did.
But you hit your cap quicker, right? Or there's a potential.
You get throttled.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what I'm... Yes, right.
Five?
So they may make it... an unpleasant experience.
Five what?
But you can still have it.
They throttle at 5 gigs on LTE. So you get a little more, you get 2 extra gigs before they start turning you down to modem speeds.
Now, probably with an iPhone, the necessity for LTE is a lot greater than an iPad for a lot of people because your phone is truly going everywhere.
What kind of speeds are you getting in San Francisco on LTE?
Gosh, we haven't tried lately, but...
It was really fast, the last I heard.
What was interesting, yeah, when LTE first came to the iPad, which I have on AT&T, it was screaming because nobody else was using it.
There was 14 million people worldwide, as Ken says.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to change.
I know that in a cab going through San Francisco from the airport one night, I got 35 down and 18 up.
Holy cow.
On my iPad.
Mobile.
I feel like it slowed down a little since then, though.
Yeah.
No, which, you know, is obviously you expect that.
And by Macworld 2013,
you won't be able to use it at all.
Now, people are going to be walking around with their iPhone 5s going, man, I can't. They should have this in Ontario.
Scooter X is getting 30 megabits up and down. What city are you in, Scooter X? I'm moving there on his Verizon LTE. That's pretty nice. All right. I think that's everything there is to be said about the iPhone 5. Yes?
I think we covered the big stuff.
iOS 6. Let's talk about the new software, the maps. They spent some time talking about the maps. Andy did, too. But there's nothing new, right? We knew that there'd be turn-by-turn. We knew there'd be the 3D view. Satellite. We didn't know there'd be satellite images. There's going to be satellite imagery. That makes it more at a parity with the Google Maps that we're losing.
We had heard that from the company. What was it? C3?
Right.
That Apple acquired. Ball. Which was using satellite imagery to put together a combination of old space satellites or something from the government.
That satellite data is being leased to everybody from
anybody can get it.
Companies that have stitched it together. Right. Yeah, it's all USGS stuff.
Right.
Or
but didn't satellite. Google put up a satellite? I think they did. There is a Google. Google's doing some of its own imaging.
They may, but most of the imaging that we see is from a very, very detailed set of satellites that are up there that are just constantly combing the Earth, both in what they call DEM files, digital elevation maps, as well as other ones that are grabbing the color information.
And somebody's saying, well, doesn't the current one do satellites? Yes, but that's the point, is that the current one is a Google Maps app and is being replaced by Apple's own mapping app. And so the question is, what do we lose? What do we gain? I'm sure Google will do a Maps app. They already announced a YouTube app.
That's right.
To replace the loss of the YouTube app in iOS 6. I would guess that Google Maps can't be far off.
Yeah, I mean, if Apple allows Google to have a Chrome browser app, there's no reason for them to keep off a Maps app. And it would just be...
Here's a question.
Be a bad idea to shut us out if you prefer Google Maps.
The Google Maps on Android do turn by turn. Do you think that they will add that feature to iOS on the Google Maps? That'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
What's that?
I don't know. A horrendous
weird
picture
image on your Samsung phone. I don't know.
By the way,
That's a good question.
I think that Scott Jordan was calling me because I'm wearing a Scotty Vest shirt. I realize now he was probably calling to congratulate me.
He was
going
to give you some props.
My fine vestments.
They talked a little bit about Siri getting better. Again, stuff that we've heard before. I don't feel like Siri's that great.
No. And unreliable.
Just this morning. Okay,
it'd be great if it worked.
Great example. I remembered something that I had to do. It's like, oh, I'm going to forget this unless I write it down, and I can't because I'm driving. So I say,
Siri.
Siri, put blah, blah, blah on my reminders app. And Siri waits for a second, and then she goes, I'm sorry, Sarah. I can't work in reminders. You have to open up reminders.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect example of what Siri could actually be very helpful for.
Well, it does.
And it doesn't
but
work.
You have to know how to do it. But you just didn't have the syntax right.
Oh.
Right. You have to say, remind me to.
And then that's a little annoying, though.
Find me to?
Remind me to.
Remind me to. Remind me to, like Siri, remind me, or you don't have to say Siri, but remind me to do this at 4 p.m. And then she'll do whatever this
okay,
was.
Okay. That's, well, that's
it's the syntax.
That's fine.
So
but
I
still,
use, I have a shopping list, so I can say, add bread to my shopping list, and it will do it in reminders.
Shh, Siri, be quiet.
All right. Yeah.
Shh. Be quiet, Siri.
Shh. Quiet. What? What? Did you talk to me? What?
Okay, so that's a good example of partly me being stupid and partly Siri not understanding what I want to do. Isn't a part of the point is that you're able to use Siri like natural language?
Right. But no, apparently it's a little dogmatic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a computer.
It'd also be nice to ask Siri to open apps for me.
They did talk about the fact that you could now tweet and Facebook from your notifications.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
You know, though, that is one thing that notifications does that's a little bit better than the this is, you know, Apple's notification center is a direct copy of Android's, with the exception of the fact that you can have widgets in here so that I have the weather is right there. I can have stock prices right there. And the ability to tweet directly from it would be another differentiator. Might help in future lawsuits.
Is Siri still technically beta?
Yes.
All right. Forgive me. You know what sucks about the Kitty Hawk flyer? It only went like two hills, and that was it.
Yeah.
So, Siri is like at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. You want it to be able to do everything the second you get it, but they're already adding more stuff. I mean, I'm kind of with you. When they announced what they announced at WWDC, I was a bit annoyed because mostly what they're talking about is bar bet stuff. Who's taller, Kobe or LeBron? Well, I don't care about Kobe or LeBron, so to me it's not that big a deal, but it is an evolution again, right?
Well,
so next
but
year,
wait a minute.
Maybe it gets better.
Ken, they put some, a lot of that stuff was stuff that they took out of Siri when they bought it, and they're just putting it back in now, like restaurant reservations.
All right. That's, why
I think,
would they do that? Why did they do that?
I could tell you why.
Okay.
It really is challenging. It's kind of what you were talking about with LTE. Apple's at such scale now with these. They're selling so many of these. It's suddenly, what Apple needs to be able to do to support Siri making a restaurant reservation is significantly more difficult than what Siri, the little app, had to do. You've got you know, 100 million users now. In fact, you're going to have a lot more because they're putting Siri on some of the new iPods. I mean, Siri is going to be very difficult because you've got to do everything at the data center. Can you imagine the amount of traffic that's generating to North Carolina?
So are they right to have put it out as a beta?
Well, that's a good question.
It's almost crazy to talk about something they did over a year ago. But if people are still saying, you know, as far as Siri is concerned.
But it's worse than that because it has such promise and it fails so often. That's what's really the problem.
But how often, when you say it fails so often, how often do you use it? I mean, I find that it's just now kind of in the background. I wake up in the morning, I'm like, what is the weather like today? You know, and it's just one of the things when I'm deciding what to wear. Right. And there's definitely pieces of it that has just become part of my, you know, remind me to do this, wake me up at this time.
And you don't find the network is down a lot?
No.
Okay.
Not often.
Do you do dictation?
No, I don't dictate.
I see. I use it mostly for dictation, and it fails a lot.
I don't find that I have that problem. Sometimes it lags a little bit. Takes a few seconds.
I tried to set an alarm last night, and it took 30 seconds of thinking.
That's too long.
Before it could set an alarm.
Yeah.
And the problem is maybe it isn't failing, but I'm impatient and I'm giving up.
30 seconds, though. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a couple second lag.
Think. I'll tell you why they released it, though, Ken. They had to because Android's breathing down their backs on this stuff. Google's doing a lot of this stuff now.
In fact, I have two phones, and I will go back and forth. Who's going to be better today? Whose network is going to work better today, Google's or Apple's? And they, you know, I set the alarm on one or the other, and they fail equally frequently. I think it's a network issue. I don't think it's a software issue, because so much, almost all of it's done on the network. Very little of it's done locally, if any. Let's talk about, so anything else on iOS 6 we want to mention? Did we get all
the... Did you notice that they got rid of the company that was doing the noise cancellation?
They did, but they still have three microphones.
Right. I'm hoping that it works better now than it did before, because if you are on a conference call, if you're ever on a conference call and everyone says they're hearing echoing, it's because of that noise cancellation and you have a headset in. So if you have, a headset in and you turn on the... and you jump into a conference call, it'll echo for the first 30 seconds. And
that's not
good. It took me a little while to figure out that it was the noise cancellation not doing what it's supposed to.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Apple's doing it itself. There's three microphones, a noise-canceling mic, a front and a back mic. That's, by the way, commonplace in most high-end phones now. Right. One for recording with this camera, the front camera. One for recording with the back camera. iPods, new iPods, big, probably, and I, as Akhtar, pointed this out in our live coverage, probably the biggest design change is for the iPod Nano. Of all the products they announced today, this is a completely new look, cribbed directly from Microsoft's Zune HD. So it's about time the Zune got the recognition it deserves. Nothing. Crickets. Crickets.
We're past the iPod. Who gets an iPod? Why don't you just get an iPod?
An iPod. Kids get an iPod.
Okay.
Runners,
joggers. It's $149. Can't order it now. You got to wait till next month. Sorry.
People who are really into music.
People who listen to FM radio.
That too. I am one of those people.
Really?
Yes.
Who listens to radio?
I do.
You know, the FM radio.
What do you listen to?
All sorts of things.
The tech guy.
And you're at the gym?
I listen to Rev FM. It's a dance station. I listen to NPR.
NPR. There you go. Talk radio, yeah, because you're not going to hear that.
Well, why would you listen to NPR instead of just downloading it, though? Their app is so much better, because then you can skip over all the end of hours.
You're totally right, but there is something weird about when I get in my car at 1 p.m. I know Fresh Air is just starting, and it's little games I play with myself. I don't know. I do it.
I know.
I stopped doing that.
But you don't do it on your iPod Nano. You listen to your car radio.
That's right.
I don't understand who listens to radio on their iPod Nano.
It's car stuff, for sure.
Yeah, it's a car thing.
So the one thing that I found useful for the FM is that if you're at a gym and they have like the monitors up there that have different FM, that's actually the number one use, I think.
Maybe that's it.
For the FM, is able to watch TV at the gym.
The rounded case does look a little bit, somebody's pointing out, like the Lumia, the Nokia Lumia. It has that kind of round edge to it. Video playback, because it's got a bigger screen, is going to be something more desirable. This makes this a little bit more credible.
It's still so small, though.
Is it?
I mean, it's not the way I would prefer to watch anything on video.
YouTube Kids, maybe?
I think Chad said it during your live coverage. It's going to make a horrible wristwatch.
Got to go with Lango.
They're still making the other one. The shuffle or whatever it's called. You still can buy the shuffle that makes, well, it doesn't have any time on it.
I was going to say, that's a terrible wristwatch. That's worse than the new Nano.
You could still put it on your wrist.
That's true. Yeah, you could do that.
I guess. Never mind. What about all those companies that are making Nano wristwatches? They're out of business?
The refurb market, I guess. Maybe. Wow. Or people who still have them. I don't know. Yeah, it's what it means. It's like we were talking about earlier with the 360 panorama. It's kind of sad for the people who just started cracking.
Well, it also depends on how good the 360 panorama is. I mean, you know, being able to just wave it around, I'm not totally clear it's going to be as good as, some of the...
Right.
Auto stitch and so on and so forth. They're pretty robust.
You know, a lot of high-end point and shoots have built-in panel. My Fujifilm has built-in panel,
and it's not very good. Have you used?
It's not as good as if you did it by hand. No,
right. I mean, or if you took individual stills. The Sony has the same thing, where they have some stuff that goes down that path, but it's not robust.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get us back there. My point was, like, people who make those wristbands, people who make the,
right.
you know, the...
They've been Sherlocked.
The watch bands, yeah, they're kind of done now.
Sherlocked. Well, you could put a shuffle on it and pretend you have a wristwatch.
It's awesome. It's a great idea.
You have a watch on your fuel band. Are you still wearing that?
I have
so
a watch.
So then you just go nano fuel band.
I could wear
and
my
you've
nano
got everything.
There, and then I don't need the watch.
Right.
No, you're rocking it now.
Yeah.
Sarah Lane.
Thinking hard.
Tiny
did they
dancer.
Mention the iPod Classic?
They didn't. It's still available, though.
Okay.
Which is good news, because if you have if you need 160 gigabytes of storage,
which
they keep
this
alive.
There are the people who will say, I want that.
That's who they keep it alive
yeah.
for. But I would buy
nothing
this
has changed.
Before too late. It's still on the store. So they've got the Shuffle, the Nano. Interestingly, they're still selling the old iPod Touch, and then the new iPod Touch, and the Classic is still available.
That was kind of surprising, actually, that they kept the old iPod Touch to me. I mean, it's great because it does make it a lower price point. People can get into it, you know.
It's
who
still
don't
not cheap,
spend the money on
though.
The new one.
I mean, I think that they see the Touch as a kids market. This is what I said on our live coverage, because you know, otherwise, as you said, Alex, who doesn't have a phone? But right. if you're a kid, you don't have a phone. You might have an iPod Touch. But the price is still not cheap. 16 gigs for the old iPod Touch, $199. That's $200. 32 gigs, $250.
But I got to say, if you're a parent, you don't. I mean, getting something an iPod Touch, I think is a good solution. I think that I don't understand the smaller ones, because once you get into the full screen, you know, whether it's iPod Touch or the iPhone, as a parent, man, it's so useful.
The Nano
on trips.
Yeah,
on
you know,
trips.
I agree. The Nano is $149 for 16 gigs, so that's a you know aggressive price point, and of course the Shuffle's $50.
But it's so hard to play Angry Birds on either one of those.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
Multi-touch on the new Nano. You could play. They might have apps. You know, they got little rounded icons on them.
All right, as long as you can play Angry Birds,
wouldn't that be interesting?
The one thing the Nano doesn't have is a camera, which the older, longer Nano did.
It had a bad camera, but it had a camera.
Right.
So really for $50 more, same size, you could get the old iPod Touch. For $150 more, you get the new iPod Touch. By the way, the other question I have with pricing is, where do you fit an iPad mini into all of this? Because there aren't any holes in the line. You got $50 for a Shuffle, $150 for a Nano. The new iPod Touches range from $300 to $400. Then there's the iPad at $500. Where do you put an iPad mini in there?
Good question.
Well, they're different. They're different devices, aren't they? I mean, I know you could say that the Touch is close to the iPad mini, what we assume the iPad mini is.
You're
going
to have to make
be.
The mini the same price as the Touch.
Yeah. Probably, mm-hmm. But that's okay because they're gunning for different people at that point, right? Not gunning. I'm sorry. They're going for different people at that point, right?
Who's walking
into an Apple store right now trying to decide if they want an iPod Touch or an iPad? I don't think
it's
a lot
different
of
markets.
Buying, right. That's what I'm saying. So even if it comes in at the same price, okay. It's still going to be a different market. Isn't
yeah,
it?
But a larger iPod Touch and a smaller iPad starts getting a little bit more of a gray area. Because you
it
don't
is,
have
it,
huge versus tiny.
If you look at it as an education distribution or a company being able to put stuff out, I think that the iPad Touch will make, or the iPad, the smart mini iPad, will make more sense than, you know, trying to distribute documentation or training or education on a little iPod Touch. So I think that smaller one that's cheaper if you're buying them by the thousand. You know, might make a lot of sense, which I think that is going to be a big target for the mini iPad.
Okay, so you're saying the mini iPad is an education play?
Well, I think it's a platform for business, for education. I think and people who want to get a cheaper version, but I do think that that's going to be a big market of people who want to buy a lot of them. I think when you're looking at there's going to be a big push. I think over the next 2 years in education for doing something, whether it's OLPC or Windows, and I think it's a very, very competitive market over the next 2 or 3 years. And I think that part of, not the only thing that they're looking at, but I think that part of what makes the iPad mini interesting, if you can get into that $200 to $300 price point, is it really puts it head-to-head with a lot of those other solutions.
All right. Well, we'll see. I think we'll see. Do you still think that we're doing an iPad mini next month?
Yes.
I think so, yeah. Especially since pretty much everything about the iPhone magically came true.
Yeah, that's
true.
Which
is not so magic after all. I mean, that's there's true. Too much talk about this iPad mini for it to just be totally bunk.
That's a very good point.
What about the little straps with your... With your iPod.
Well, and this, Alex, you weren't here, but I was surprised that they didn't do a better camera in the iPod Touch. It's a very good one. It's basically the iPhone 4's 5-megapixel camera with some of the improved features from the iPhone 5. 1080p HD video recording. This is in the iPod Touch. 720p FaceTime camera in the iPod Touch as well. And face detection. And they put a little strap on it. And I thought, gee, if you just made the camera a little bit better, you'd really be hitting the point-and-shoot camera market, wouldn't you? Or maybe this is good enough.
I think it also gets into differentiating the two, but I think more importantly, I think a lot of it's shaving cost and making sure that it's fitting in within whatever model that they're working inside of, you know, for how much that needs to cost and what the margins need to look like and what kind of camera you put in. I think that's probably most likely the issue.
You might be right. Yeah, good point. Very good point.
It's not something that, you know, it's one of those things that you cut corners in 1,000 little places to get it to the target.
Right.
Not just one here and one there.
We'll talk about the new iTunes in just a moment. You're watching Mac Break Weekly, the hangover edition, the post-announcement edition, the time when reality emerges from the reality distortion fields. To cloud our vision, or is it to uncloud our vision? OS Ken, Mac OS Ken, Ken Ray is here from macosken.com. Alex Lindsay of the Pixel Core and Mac Break Weekly. And Sarah Lane from i5 for the iPhone and iPad today. She's got a lot to talk about this next coming i5 for the iPhone.
Yeah, content galore.
Content galore. Our friends at Ford are doing a content site, a social site. This is kind of cool. social.ford.com. It's not a site where they sell you cars. It's a site where they talk about Ford. It's a site for the Ford fan, the Ford family, the Ford lover, or maybe, I suppose, the prospective Ford buyer, a place to learn more about Ford. I even have an article on here in the technology section. I talked about my conversation with Jim Buczkowski. This is one of the first articles they had up here, I'm proud to say. Maybe I'll write one about my Mustang next. Jim Buczkowski is one of Ford's lead technologists. We talked about the new apps on the Sync platform, the future of speech to text, working out of the cloud, workload information management. I thought this was very interesting. New Ford vehicles perhaps will set priorities on the features depending on the traffic and the weather conditions. It might kind of say, hey, you know, you got to pay more attention, so we're going to shut down a little bit here. On the stuff that Ford Sync will do so you can pay attention. The GPS already does that, right? When you're driving, you can't start entering stuff into the GPS. Well, imagine if, you know, the roads got more congested, you had to pay more attention to the rain. These are things Ford's thinking about all the time. You might be too. That's why you might like the ideas section where you could post your ideas, pass them along to Ford, or read other people's ideas and vote on them. It really is cool. I want you to visit social.ford.com, look at the pictures, the videos of Ford fans and their vehicles, read the articles, post your ideas, and grab a badge. I've got the Mustang badge, but you can't have that one. But you could get the Tech Geek badge. Celebrate everything in the world of tech.
They can have the Mustang
More than badge. One person can have a badge?
Yes.
Damn.
That's the whole thing.
I thought I would own that badge forever and ever.
You're standing in solidarity with the other Mustang.
I am.
That's right.
Pony car forever.
Ooh.
Except I feel bad because I was driving my GT 5.0, driving down 2010. Love it. I keep it shiny so it's bright. It looks good. And then somebody pulls up next to me. He's driving a Shelby. I'm really jealous. Social.ford.com. And, of course, you got to get yourself a Ford vehicle. Visit your local Ford dealer and drive one today. Alex Lindsay, Ken Ray, Sarah Lane. New iTunes. I guess Are we excited? iTunes 11 will be out. When did they say? Next month. They have to rewrite it.
I think that it looks great from what we saw. The design is it's a huge
simple.
Overhaul.
It's complete. It's a lot simpler, cleaner design, right?
Agreed. And I don't know if it's going to be snappier, but I know that I've been really frustrated with iTunes.
And iTunes
comes out with updates every 5 minutes, and it's never better.
Right.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to this, but I don't know if it's just a design thing. That's still better than nothing.
It's got a new mini player with built-in search.
Mm-hmm.
It's got no more ping, as far as I can tell.
They never mentioned it, did they?
No, and I don't see
not even a word.
Ping buttons, but they do have instant recommendations. So they've got the they don't call it the Genius anymore, but they've got the Genius, I guess. They say albums listeners also bought. You know, it's kind of Amazon-style recommendations. Store's been redesigned, which is good. I'd like to see what they do with the podcasts. Can't tell from these screenshots.
Yeah, I didn't really mention anything about that.
Now, when you preview a song or movie, it's always easy to find it again. Just look at your history.
That's cool.
Like that.
Do you think with the podcast, they're going to move more and more to the separate application that we're seeing?
Well, you know, they did it on the iOS stuff, and I hope they do it on... I don't know if I hope they do it. I don't know. But it wouldn't be surprising if they did it on the desktop.
I think it makes sense. Podcasts aren't iTunes.
Cloud integration when you buy an album, song, movie, or TV on any device, and I guess that means Apple TV and iOS as well. It's instantly accessible in your iTunes library on your Mac or PC. Just double-click the play. By the way, that answers the question, is this update for Mac and Windows? Yes.
They've got a thing up at the top of the art that I didn't notice earlier where they've got radio featured pretty prominently.
Yeah.
I know they've got radio already in iTunes, but it's, you know, it's like internet streams or some NPR and things like that. I wonder if this is actually tied to that rumor that we heard that they're going to try to do their own Pandora thing.
Ah.
The beginning of adding it in.
Radio's always been kind of an afterthought there, but you're right. I see it. I mean, they don't have any demos.
It's right up at the top.
Yeah. Songs, that's albums, crazy. Artists, genres, playlists, radio. Yeah, right at the top of the music, too. So that, you might be right, Ken. Good catch there.
You know, it looks a lot like...
Zune?
Well, no, I was going to say, it looks a lot like my RDO app.
Oh.
Which is, of course, a streaming service.
Right. Maybe they should just buy RDO and
I feel like
things.
it's a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
I really do.
They should. They just take out the A. And they've got it.
And then it becomes IDO.
Audio. I like this too. In your playlist, you could see what's coming next in the playlist and rearrange your playlist before it starts playing. I think that's cool. It also has a sync feature. So you start a movie, TV show, podcast, iTunes U lesson or audiobook on one device, pause it, pick up another device. This is what Amazon just announced.
Mm-hmm.
With its Whisper Sync on Audible.
And you stood up in your office cheering.
I cheered.
Are you cheering for this, too?
No, because I don't ever do that. But if I did, I'd be cheering. So you start watching a movie on your iPhone, and then you can pick it up on your Apple TV.
Extremely convenient.
Yes.
That's what it is.
No, you need that. You absolutely need that.
So they mentioned podcast there. Also, I'm looking at some of the other images, the one with the killers on the front. It's actually still got podcast right at the top.
Good.
Yeah, so it goes music, movies, TV shows, apps, books, podcasts, iTunes U.
Podcasts, iTunes U.
Podcasts.
Podcasts. Good.
Shows.
Shows. It's about time, but we don't really know if this is... It's about time that they rewrote this thing in Coco is what it's about time. Let's hope that they do.
I'm hoping we see some performance gains, not just... stuff that looks good because it is kind of clunky. I mean, discoverability and performance have been the two biggest issues.
And no word of ping.
No. And I had such high hopes for it. I was so excited.
You were, actually. You really were.
I just have to, you know, eat crow every once in a while.
There's no, it doesn't mean you were wrong. It just means it didn't wasn't implemented right or something.
Yeah.
Or something.
Something.
It's too bad if they remove it, actually, because it has led to some stuff. I don't spend any time there. I haven't even looked at my Ping profile or whatever in forever, probably months. But I still have it turned on. So occasionally I'll see that, you know, a friend of mine bought the new Dylan album the other day and they're raving about it. And it makes me think, oh, I should see if they have that on Spotify.
Right. Right.
Maybe that's the failing of it.
By the way, there are two Lightning to 30-pin adapter connectors. There's one that's just a solid piece that you would probably keep with your phone, and then they have a new cable. It's Lightning to 30-pin cable.
Oh. And that is how much?
That's $39. So that would work with a dock.
Mm-hmm.
That might solve the dock problem. It just, you know, you have your phone flopping around, but... And that Lightning is now on the iPod Touch 5th generation and the 7th generation iPod Nano as well, by the way. That's the new connector. Anything else that we... I don't want to miss anything. There was a lot in there. And what wasn't in there? NFC wasn't in there. I know I'm the only one in the world who cares about that, but I just thought that if Apple put NFC in an iPhone 5, it would jumpstart that whole thing. They could make Passbook hold credit cards. And suddenly every merchant in the world would say, oh, gosh, well, we really ought to have an NFC terminal. But it's not to be. And I think that that probably means NFC's dead.
Or NFC's not ready.
Or QR codes take over that type of thing.
I hate that idea.
Right now, QR codes, I don't know. QR codes are pretty useful.
Scan.
The amount of data you can put in them.
Okay. So maybe iPhone 6?
It's possible. Yeah. I mean, there are those who swear NFC was all set. They were testing it. It was going to be in the iPhone 5.
Oh, yeah, because we saw something on the motherboard, a place to put it.
Yeah.
But then they said, "Well, wait a minute, it's got a metal back. That's not gonna work."
As recently as this morning, though, there were folks that
they were
said,
still talking about it.
At least in earlier prototypes, they were testing NFC. Maybe Apple doesn't think it's ready.
I'm curious at what Apple's doing in the Apple Store. Like when you use your Apple Store app in the Apple Store and buy your own stuff, obviously it's using their Wi-Fi, but there's some sophisticated stuff going on because people have been caught trying to fake it and they get picked up on the way out. And I'm very curious. I feel like Apple is doing a lot of research on point of purchase with the iPhone using their own stores.
Yeah. They could jump, but I'm just saying they could jumpstart it. This is their opportunity, and they could take a cut. The other thing that's interesting is they've abandoned the glass back. They're going to do a metal back tied into that, you know. But I'm glad. I think the metal back is more robust.
Well, it's pretty lighter.
Is it lighter? I guess it is lighter.
It is. At least partially
thinner.
Contributes to it being
doesn't have
lighter.
To be as thick. Otherwise.
It's not going to shatter.
Right.
As much, unless you still drop it right on that corner.
Is the top and bottom, is that plastic or is that glass?
It's glass.
So there's still glass at the top and the bottom there.
Right. Just less of it.
I think this is a pretty design.
I mean, I'm looking at the 4S and I'm thinking, oh, but the glass was so nice because you didn't have these horizontal lines. But when do you ever look at the back of your phone, really? I don't think I have done this in a year.
It's gorgeous.
No, I mean, yeah, sure, it's nice, but I'm not actually looking at it. So
no, it's still actually a beautiful design. I was looking at it the other day, thinking it's because when I went from the 3G, from the 3G to the 4, the 3G just after a while just felt, you know, cheap and kind of crappy because it was plastic, I think. And nearly 2 years with this phone now, with the iPhone 4, for me, it's still lovely. Every now and then I think, it's still a really pretty phone. Sure, I want the iPhone 5 now. I'm sure it'll get uglier the second I hold up, you know, the iPhone 5.
Well, that's what everybody's saying is holding it at the at the demo.
Yeah, but it's still a gorgeous design, I think. It'll make someone very happy at some point.
Make someone happy.
You're forgetting about Clumsy Ninja.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
The highlight of the announcement.
Clumsy Move over, Nintendogs. Clumsy Ninja's the new guy in town that needs your help. He's so clumsy.
Okay.
Let's make him a ninja.
There he is.
The two best lines of the whole thing. One was by Phil Schiller when he was talking about the camera on the iPhone. The ocean looks bluer, the kids look happier, and the world is a more beautiful place. Second best line of the whole presentation, and you had to be watching Twit to see it, was when Tom Merritt said, "Tickle the Ninja is my loudness cover band." That made me laugh. I retweeted that immediately because I thought that was hysterical.
Oh, he'll be Tickle happy to hear that.
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
Tommy, listening? He may have left for the day.
I must be old. I don't get it at all, but that's okay.
It's a Tom thing.
Yeah, it's a Tom thing.
Yeah.
He's got a cover band. There's a band called Loudness. He's going to cover their songs. They perhaps sang a song called Tick of the Ninja or something like it.
It doesn't even go that far.
It's not even that good?
Loudness was a heavy metal band out of Japan.
Aha.
Their album was Thunder from the East.
Got it.
And so Tickle the Ninja being the Loudness cover. Yeah, okay. I'll call Tom later.
Okay. Hey, let's take a break when we come back. I think we could still do tips and picks and all that stuff. Or if you don't feel like that, you could also tell us your highlight. We've already got from Ken his two top quotes from the event. You're watching Mac Break Weekly, the aftermath of the iPhone 5 launch. Brought to you today by the new Squarespace. Squarespace should have had an event launching the new Squarespace. There's so many new features. This is an example of a program that's been completely rewritten from scratch. I'm talking about Squarespace's content management system. But don't let me imply that that's all they do. Squarespace also does the best hosting. So when you get the hosting tightly coupled with the software running on the server, as you do with Squarespace, you get a lot of benefits. It's always up to date. It's always secure. You don't have to worry about maintaining it. Also, you cannot bring it down because the software includes very sophisticated load balancing site management stuff that happens in the background. That's why Squarespace sites are so robust, so reliable. All those people with the GoDaddy sites that went down, I resisted, but I was so tempted to say, you should have used Hover and Squarespace. Actually, you don't even need Hover if you get a year's subscription to the new Squarespace because they will register the domain name for you for free and hook it up, too. And what a deal. Squarespace, the $8 a month when you buy the annual plan is the basic plan. That's very affordable, including hosting and software. But if you go with the $16 a month unlimited plan, that's $16 a month for a year if you buy the year plan, you get, I don't know how they can do this so affordably, unlimited pages, galleries, blogs, bandwidth, unlimited storage, unlimited. You have as many contributors as you want. You could do The Verge on this sucker. Plus, you get the custom domain name. They hook it up and everything. Here's what I suggest. Visit squarespace.com. Watch the demo video. Take a look at some of the features. Sorry, this video only available on video. Well, that's something went wrong there. Here's the video. Full screen. Wow, I haven't seen it full screen like this. You can find out about all the new features, the new templates, the new responsive design, which I really like. That's kind of the hottest thing right now in web design, where you make one, you don't have a mobile site separate from the basic site. You have one site. Everything is designed to scale. So every time you put an image on there, for instance, you have seven different sizes. So no matter what page the page is loaded on, whether it's a 27-inch iMac or an iPhone or an iPod mini or an iPhone 5, it always looks great. It always looks like your site. Of course, it's very simple to use these templates to customize your pages. You don't have to know CSS, JavaScript, HTML5. But if you do, you can use all of that. So your pages look great everywhere. I'm just a big fan. Try it right now. If you visit squarespace.com, you can click the Try It Free button and try it for 2 weeks. No cost to you. If you decide to buy those great prices I talked about, take 10% off your first purchase when you use the offer code MacBreak9. MacBreak and the number 9 for the 9th month of September. Squarespace.com. The all-new Squarespace is here, and it is gorgeous. Give it a try today. Let's wrap this puppy up. Ken, you already did your quotes. You want to give us a tip, a pick, or you could say something that you thought was maybe the unsung hero of this announcement today.
Well, can I actually do something that's half pick, half shameless self-promotion?
Please do.
Okay. Rod Roddenberry, son of Gene Roddenberry, had this idea for a podcast where he would get a couple of people together and they would watch every episode of Star Trek and then try to pull out the morals, messages, and meanings.
Oh, I love it.
And I get to be one of those guys.
Oh.
So We started about 5 weeks ago. I guess the sixth week goes up tomorrow. It's called Mission Log, a Roddenberry Star Trek podcast, wherever fine podcasts are served.
And that's really neat.
We're actually going through and watching every episode in order. So this is a 13-year gig, theoretically.
Now, does he say that you have to, like, are you sitting at home and you press play at a certain time, or?
No, but we are encouraging people because they're so available now with DVDs and, of course, Blu-ray and Netflix and Amazon and StarTrek.com. And I think there's one other place online you can get it, too. We would love it if people actually watched along with us and then did that. But no, it's not watch right then.
So you do watch it during the podcast or no?
No.
Okay, you just talk about it.
Hey, yeah, right, watch this episode and then come back and, you know, we'll talk about it. And we'd love to get feedback from you and all that stuff. So
the latest episode, episode 5, The Naked Time.
Yeah.
Kirk
yeah.
is torn Although, between two lovers.
He is. It's true. So watch it and see. You know, it's not, you know, sort of geekery like, oh, what, didn't that monster look dumb or didn't that set look stupid? Although we do a bit of that too. Or didn't that monster look great or wasn't that set fantastic? Mostly it's about the messages, meanings, and morals, because it was important to Rod that part of his father's legacy not be sort of lost in the whole, you know, the whole J.J. Trek idea or the whole, you know, this is my favorite captain, your captain is stupid kind of thing. He wanted to get it back sort of to the humanist sort of and moral message of it.
So Rod is kind of,
it's not Star Wars.
He's kind of made the perpetuation of his father's legacy his life's mission.
It's starting to be, yeah.
That's really neat.
Honestly, there was a ton of stuff written about that. If you haven't seen his documentary, it's called Trek Nation. And this podcast actually kind of grew from that. It was sort of, he grew up and his dad was his dad. And then also there were all of these people who like Star Trek. And right. there was a disconnect there for him. He's there's video of him in the documentary with his Star Wars cake when he was a kid, because he was a kid, you know. And
so how dare you?
he cares about his Star Wars, right? And so it was only as an adult, pretty much after his dad had passed, that he realized there's this whole other thing that I don't know about. And so he sort of tried to get to know more about his dad by trying to get to know more about Star Trek. And that's when he sort of came across all the people who said, this really changed my life.
Right.
In profound ways and you know, very, you know, big philosophical ways. And so then he's like, hey, we should get some people to talk about it. And it's nutty that I get to be one of those. So
cool.
That's so cool.
MissionLogPodcast.com. And then, of course, the Mac OS Ken thing that you've been kind enough to mention all the way through.
MacOSKen.com.
Thank
Here's
you
a plug.
Much.
Do you have a pick for us, Mr. Lindsay?
I do. This is a continuation of other picks I've made in the past, only because it came out this week. And I just wanted to yell, finally, which is that Autodesk has released 1-2-3D Catch on the iPhone.
Yeah.
So I talked about it on the iPad, and I recommended it on the iPad, but it's a little clunky on the iPad. It is not clunky at all on the iPhone.
Because you have
it
to take pictures.
Oh, we did this on iPad today, right?
Yeah, that's the one where I did your head.
Yeah. Oh, that's
the
fun.
Most popular model on 1-2-3D Catch is Sarah's head.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to do it with the iPhone.
I should do another
one. Camera. It is fast, easy. It's all cloud-based. So you just shoot it and let it upload. It'll go cook in the cloud. And it's just
it's free.
So much fun. It's free.
I love that.
So
I'm downloading it now so I can do an update of Sarah's. Oh, maybe I should do your tiny hands.
I don't have a manicure, so because if can you wait till I do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if we did that, then future phone designers could use it as a model.
Yeah. Don't forget the little twerps.
For what not to forget.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
1-2-3D Catch is the name of the app. I'm downloading it. I know I shouldn't do this because we're in the middle of a show, but I'm actually downloading it right now.
I don't actually have a tip because I forgot to get one ready, but I do have an iPhone joke. Would you like to hear it?
I would like to hear an iPhone joke.
An iPhone 5 walks into a Genius bar, and the genius says, "Hey, buddy, why the long face?" All right. That was from Wired's Twitter account. I can't take credit. Just getting it?
I'm just getting it now. AT&T, by the way, is confirming that if you have a grandfathered unlimited plan, you will still have a grandfathered unlimited plan
Nice.
With the iPhone 5. They've put out a press release to let us know.
They have enough bad press as it is.
Yeah.
Well, and they got to hang on to everybody they can. I mean, that's half the reason some of us are still on AT&T is because of that grand plan.
It's the total reason. I would be on Verizon, absolutely.
They're also not nationwide. They're also not nationwide with their LTE yet. So, I mean, for them to say, no, you have to move up, and then say, oh, but we actually don't have LTE.
Right.
But thanks anyway.
Right.
You know?
Yep. Well, I don't have a pick or anything. I'm just really glad that we could do this coverage. I'm glad Andy Iannocca could join us at the very beginning of the show. Do we have any plans for Andy later in the week or anything like that? Is he going to come visit?
Not that I have confirmed with him.
So he just owes me big time for flying him out
right.
and meeting the Foo Fighters.
Exactly.
In the past, weren't we able to Skype from the hands-on demo area?
We have had, remember, that's how Becky Worley got banned. We have had FaceTime or Skype from there. I'm not sure why we didn't have video from that, but that's all right.
I feel like we have before, and it was not a big deal.
We've done it before. I don't know if...
Apple just, for whatever reason, said not this time.
I don't know if Apple... It sounds like Apple prohibited it. I gathered that Andy didn't want to turn the camera on.
I mean, right at the top, I had asked him for video, and he said that he couldn't.
I think that that's what happened. However, we did get his impressions of the new iPhone 5. I want to thank you, Ken Ray, for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, sir. It's always a pleasure.
Good to have you. Alex Lindsay, thanks for taking time out from, I'm sure, what would normally be a very busy day for you to join us from New York City.
My pleasure.
See you out here soon. Sarah Lane, thank you for being here. We'll see you Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 1800 UTC, i5 for the iPhone.
Well, it's the behind-the-scenes shoot of it.
Yeah. It's not a completed show until you get
it's
all the
very
screenshots
much not.
Together.
But everything. Tomorrow we'll do iPad Today, so we'll talk a little bit about what we heard today that will appeal to all of us iPad owners.
Right, this time tomorrow, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4
p.m.
Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, on TNT every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific.
That's right.
And the Social Hour every Friday at 11.
1 p.m. Pacific. Yeah. You have that day off, so.
I'm not around on Friday.
That's
I don't know
why.
What the hell happens here.
You
I just know I come in on Saturday
just don't
and there's
come
bottles
in.
Of booze and balloons, and it's just, I don't understand. Something happened. Cupcakes half eaten. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. I hope you enjoyed our coverage of the live Apple event and our post event Mac Break Weekly. We do Mac Break Weekly normally, on a normal day, on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. Tune in live. We'd love to have you live. But if you can't, on-demand versions in audio and video are always available at twit.tv/MBW. If you missed our coverage of the event, it's on our or will be on our Twit Specials feed very soon. It's episode number 139 of our Twit Live specials. You can watch our coverage. And the puppet show reenactment, where and the debate rages over whether that was a success or Twit actually jumped the shark at that moment. We shall see. Thanks to Chad Johnson for producing. Thanks to you for joining us. Now back to work. Break time is over.